This is the February 16 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net, along with Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net, and Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. There today at WILLAG.org, you'll find a link to register for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's coming up on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. The whole of the Farm Doc team, the agricultural economist, will be with us. 10 of our analysts on air, including all three of the gentlemen here. And we'll have Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agripol to kick us off, and Mark Cheney from John Deere to talk about John Deere's vision of the future as it relates to automation and artificial intelligence. It's all at willag.org. Register today for the Beef House event Tuesday, March the 7th. The cost is just $30, and that includes your morning coffee and a cinnamon roll from the Beef House. That's something you can't get there without going to a special conference. And you'll also get a Beef House meal at the noon hour. Thanks for joining us. Get registered today. Now, let's get started. This week has been, well, let's call it different, because it's been a little boring, I think, Dave Chatterton. What do you think of the week so far?
Yeah, Todd, I mean, it's a good way to describe it. It's been a lot of chop back and forth. We started the week with making kind of new highs for the move, and corn and beans both kind of got back up to some pretty important resistance levels. We kind of failed. We've walked our way back, but not by a lot. And I think in the context of watching what's happened in the macro and the equity markets this week, with a pretty hot inflation number, a pretty hot retail sales number, and some walk back, you know, bond prices up, or bond price, you know, interest rates going up, the equity market rolling back, it's been a little bit impressive here that the grain market and futures have been able to kind of hold pace here and really not give up a lot of ground in light of where we've gone. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I think that support comes in the sense that we still have a pretty historically low carryout for our old crop on both corn and soybeans that is supportive at least until the point that we can plant and kind of feel good about that new crop production or better about it. But we're also not finding a lot of new buyers coming into the market. I think the investor side is struggling a little bit to get that momentum going. So we kind of remain choppy. We remain range bound. Boring might be a good way to describe it.
Some of the outside market things have been interesting. The consumer price index, or the CPI, was a bit of a surprise. And then the Federal Reserve, of course, looks like it's going to continue to raise interest rates by at least a quarter for maybe one or two more outings. That surprised the market from the outside side and put some push into the dollar to the upside. Are we worried about the export market, particularly for corn?
Well, I think we should be worried about all of our export markets right now, Todd. You know, China's staying away from us. We've been shipping pretty good amounts of corn, but we haven't been seeing new sales. You know, it's just one of those things. I think that, you know, where they're finding grain a little cheaper, a lot of the countries are even... Russia is hitting in some of the other areas out there, and Brazil is coming on. And when they get going and roaring, I think they're going to take over. We aren't going to ship stuff to them, and it's going to be a very hard road for us. You know, what's going on with the war in Ukraine? What's going to happen? Is Russia going to extend the corridor? I think they have to, just to keep their exports going out of there safely also. But right now they're saying they're not going to extend it unless we, you know, take some sanctions off them, and that sure doesn't look likely right now.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with AgMarket.net. So is Kurt Kimmel. Kurt, when you think about this export market, lagging well behind still for corn, soybeans not doing so bad, but we need to do some catch-up sales. Can we make that through the end of the year?
Well, seasonally in through here, bean demand kind of slows on the exports because everybody shifts to the southern hemisphere. And that's just, you know, every year it seems to be like clockwork in through here. But starting the time frame when corn exports start to pick up, we're just quite a bit behind. And on Thursday morning's weekly export sales report, we saw another million metric ton corn sale. So if we can clip out a million metric tons here and a million metric tons there on the weekly scale, I think we can play catch up. We're not halfway through the marketing year, almost halfway through the marketing year. You know, China's still floating in the background in here. Mexico's been our best corn customer. It's, you know, some of this Asian business, so forth. It's got its work cut out in through here, but I think we've got a chance to narrow the gap here over the next 6 months.
Farmers have really held on to corn this year, thinking that the market can go by higher. Based on the previous couple of years, should they reconsider that position?
Well, I think you have to consider it in the tone of profitability and where we're at, Todd. And looking at things, you know, today, I think we're in a different market than we've had the last 2 years. The last 2 years, selling too early has been a problem, or has been a detriment, I should say. I think this year it's a little bit different in the sense that we're looking at a situation where you've got a record crop brewing in South America. When you look at combined supplies, we all know about the Argentine drought, but when you throw in what looks like a record Brazilian crop on top of that, you're going to have record supplies. You're going to be competing with the U.S. going forward. You've got, you know, China and some other, you know, geopolitical things that linger in the background that can continue to hurt our demand. We're seeing our crush numbers now are below last year's levels for the third month in a row. You guys, we were talking about exports, corn exports roughly 40% behind where they were a year ago at this time. Bean exports, you know, looking better, but we certainly have a lot of unshipped, you know, bean sales to China on the books that could come off. I think that's a way of looking at that, is that you have risks here. You have some profitability in these levels, but to get the market to rally beyond close to the levels that we're at, or the recent highs that we've seen, or new contract highs, you're really going to have to introduce, I think, a summer weather problem here. And that bet is a tough bet in terms of marketing, because the market, once it feels good about the new crop situation, whether that's acres, whether that's yield, a combination of both, that risk premium that we're holding today in prices will be extracted probably quicker than we can catch up and hedge against it. So it's a really double-edged sword here. I think, you know, I think you need to be a little bit more aggressive at this point this year than you have been in the last 2 years. You need to be playing a little bit more defense versus offensive marketing here.
So you need to be more aggressive. And I suppose part of that, Wayne Nelson, is that the interest rates are high, and if you're carrying a production loan, it might be just as well off to market the corn and have a lower loan.
That's 100% right, Todd. Though we got a little chart today, and it showed like interest or the cost to hold grain, and it's sort of like straight up compared to the last few years back there, because like 1-2% interest doesn't add up to much. 6-7, maybe, depending on it, we raise again, could get into the 8% value. That's another thing that can hit us in there that way. The other thing along the way is, you know, we've got one of our customers, it's got a private weatherman that's been right the last 3 years, which nobody, very few weathermen can say that. He's saying we're going to have a nice early spring, get in there good, but then hit some warm, hot weather late in the, you know, early summer. That says maybe we could see a rally late in the summer, but boy, it looks like we could see a sell-off if we get that kind of weather, get in the field 2 weeks early, and get this crop growing good. I think that's something that could knock it hard that way. You know, and one of the things we're looking at and seeing, and more people are saying, our profit margins are a lot lower than they were, and we've got a lot of possibly downside tail. And I think there's a lot of people that like to protect the downside here somehow, whether it's with puts, whether it's with sales, whatever it is. But I think maybe this is the year that we push corn sales a little harder than we have the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, so coming back to old crop, which is still in the bin, producers still trying to work on that. How do they protect themselves if they do make sales?
Yeah, well, I think it's, like you mentioned, there's two different markets here. We got an old crop market and a new crop market. On old crop, man, you look at $7 and you do the pencil on it, you know, the risk is to the downside. The simplest thing to do is go ahead and price that at some point in time and replace it. What we've been doing is defending the $7 level. There's nothing worse than selling, and all of a sudden we get a weather market, the market goes above $7. There's some strategies you can use to capture if that happens. If it doesn't happen, we get 95 million corn acres and 190 bushels an acre, and the market collapses. Here, you got it sold, you got your money in the pocket, and save that interest money for the most part. But if you're wanting to hang on, I think you got to wait till July or towards the end of the marketing year where we have another strong basis, and that's a pretty risky gamble.
I will say with you for just a moment, Kurt, and you can pick a chart of the day, whether it's corn, soybeans, wheat, doesn't matter. What interests you on the charts at this point in the commodity markets?
It'd be the natural gas. This natural gas has just been in a free falling through here. We've consolidated sideways for a little bit and through here. We'll probably have a little breakout to the downside in through here. but eventually that market's going to swing the other way. So if you're a bottom picker in through here, there's some creative strategies you can do to try to pick a bottom, but don't be exposed to a lot of risk. That natural gas is very, very volatile, so I do a covered position on a mini contract. You can do a mini contract. It's a fourth the size of the larger contract. We got some staying power, but that's where your bang for your dollar is when this thing turns.
You and I talk in the Ag Energies, Dave, once a month about natural gas, crude oil, and all the other outside markets to deal with. How do you see this natural gas market playing in the broader perspective? And then if you could bring it back to what you think maybe anhydrous or in supplies will look like and how much they will cost for the springtime.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack there, but fertilizer prices generally across the board down anywhere from, I want to say, 25 to 35%, in some cases 40%. We had a customer recently offered ammonia in Missouri for under $900. That compares to $1,600 last fall. So certainly the fertilizer prices are rotating on the way down. Now, whether that's a warning sign for grain prices, I kind of tend to think it is. We kind of tend to see that horse lead the grain prices. So it's certainly something to consider. But when you look at what natural gas has done, certainly we have had some offtake in terms of that translating into lower natural gas prices translating into lower fertilizer prices. But in general, the correlation between those two markets is relatively poor. You actually get a better correlation looking at corn to fertilizer than you do. The situation that we're in right now, supply is not going to be an issue from what we can tell this spring, other than maybe some small local or regionalized, say this terminal had a problem or there's a shipping or a logistical issue with the rail line, something like that. But supply is going to be there. And in looking at the oil complex as a whole and what it means in terms of where we're at, you know, certainly it can result in more corn acres this spring for folks who have not locked into fertilizer and have acres open. Whether or not that translates into, you know, some of these kind of pie in the sky numbers that we've heard from the trade of 4 million, 6 million more corn acres year over year, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But in general, the favorability, you know, is coming our way. A lot of producers locked in inputs last year. They're very high. That squeezes those margins, as Wayne talked about. But we're in a situation where, you know, there's some apples, low-hanging fruit here to be picked in terms of fertilizer pricing here, at least for this spring, if not for later in the fall.
So one of the things that's happening this month, Wayne, that you're watching closely, we all watch very closely, is it is the February crop insurance setting month. As of, I think, today or yesterday, new crop corn for the month at about $5.95. And during the Thursday webinar that Nick Paulson and Gary Schnitke put together, they showed the volatility right now. It's probably just the last rolling 5 days, and that's actually set on the last 5 days of the month, not currently, but it was lower at this point. They think the crop insurance prices should be lower than last year based on those two things, and they suggest producers really do use crop insurance as a way to manage risk.
They're 110% right, Todd. It looks like, and we hope they will be cheaper this year. Last year they were fairly expensive, but boy, was it a good crop to insure. And I think that this year's going to be an even better crop to have insurance on to give you confidence along the way. Because like I say, we're talking a lot of differentials with weather, and we're talking a lot of differentials of what we're looking at in these charts, because you asked about the chart patterns. Most of them are coming into a triangle that breaks out higher or lower. Which is it going to be? Now, if this breaks out lower, you know, down the road and we lose 50, 60 cents on this, like we say, that crop insurance is going to give you a nice little backup or a safety thing for the bank and that extra expensive money that we're going to be borrowing. But I think that and it's also going to be better if we can have a little lower volatility, and they can pay a few dollars less an acre, too, to take her down and give us better profit margin.
I know, because of the discussions that I've had with you all and with Matt Bennett from agmarket.net, that you're somewhere in that 40 to 50% hedged for the coming growing season. I don't know where Strategic Farm Marketing sets on this. I do know the numbers that Gary Schnitke used today had him thinking, hey, wait a second, I said to cover in August your expenses. I think here in February you ought to be further along than that. Normally, farmers are about 10% along. He was thinking that you ought to be 30. already and maybe bump it to 40, 45, or 50 at this point? Where is strategic farm marketing?
Yeah, kind of in the middle of all that, Todd. I think when you look at it, there is a little reluctance on the part of the producer to price too much ahead. As I said, the last 2 years, that hasn't been necessarily a winning recipe as we've seen prices gravitate higher. But in this situation, you're getting a little bit of a gift horse in the mouth with this crop insurance situation that we're talking about. Still levels where you can lock in most cases, even if you have high input costs from last fall, lock in a profitable level and do so at a volatility rate and an insurance premium that in central Illinois for 85% RP is going to be probably $6 to $7 an acre cheaper this year than last. Now, in doing so, that's the first step of any marketing or any risk management plan is having that kind of quote free put in front of you. We'd like to be moving towards 40% sold, but we're doing it with a sell and defend type of a strategy. In other words, once I go above 25% sold on new crop, I'm going out one for one and buying call spreads or in corn or soybeans to be able to participate in a summer weather market if that becomes the case. Now, I'm not betting on that. I can't market around that. I also don't want to take that risk, so I want to move my sales along. But a dollar of upside in corn with a known cost and no margin potential is going to cost you around 23 to 26 cents. A dollar of upside in beans is going to be a little bit more than that. We'll say 26 to 29 cents. But it can sit there through those summer months and give you some insulation against those higher prices in a way that you have a known cost up front. You've eliminated your downside with a cash sale or an HTA sale, and you've got some board exposure here if we do take off and run.
So one of the things I'm really wondering about new crop is that corn December contract is in that 590 range, which is where we are for the crop insurance. However, generally speaking, basis is going to be 25 to 30 under that, so the $5.60 range. I feel like farmers are going to be really hesitant to step in and make that kind of sale. Do we have time to wait for the higher price in the spring here yet, do you suppose?
Well, that's a tough one because basically who would have thought UFOs and spy balloons and China and Russia and Ukraine and polar vortexes, there's so many moving parts out there that's noisy. I think you've got to be a little bit more aggressive and have a flexible marketing plan, kind of like Dave mentioned there, and shed off some of this risk, because what a market will do, go down and spooky yourself, and then we'll go up. But seasonally, whenever you see these types of weather patterns develop, there could be a shot in here if we're a little too wet here in the spring, don't get the crop in time. That would be the time window to get her sold on some planting fear delays.
Well, in my area, I hate to say it, they're selling the dickens out of old corn. They're hauling whenever it's able to get in and haul it out of their bins. And they are taking very good advantage of some good basis levels, stuff they sold ahead, and stuff they're selling now as it goes along the way. They are not very far along on new crop. They're all sitting on their hands. They're all sort of waiting, thinking, well, we should go up. We should go up. There's world stocks are tight, this and that, everything along the way. I think that they have to start now. If you haven't started, at least get 20% done and get something on the books here along the way. Have some orders scaled up in there to sell some stuff. We've got a lot of orders at $6 even. You know, at our conference down in Nashville, we talked a lot about what's the real difference between $5.97 and $6. You know, I can remember a time when my father offered corn to sell at $1.50. It went to $1.49.5, and we took 97 cents for it the next year. So, you know, we want to not look for even numbers. We want to try to scale stuff in here. And I think it's going to be time to, if you aren't there, at least get to 20% at the 5.95 or above.
Yeah, Todd, to answer the question, I think we have a little bit of time here. And I think it goes back to the comment earlier that we, you know, when you look at old crop carryout and soybeans at this, call it plus or minus 220 million, beans at 220 million plus or minus, corn at 1.25. Those are numbers that if we have a weather problem and a yield issue this summer, we're going to have an explosive type of a market. It's that tight historically. We're actually at the tightest projected carryout at this point in the crop year that we've seen in the last 10 years for corn. We're at the second, I think, or third for soybeans. So the market will carry some degree of risk premium, but as we wind towards spring and as we talk about acres and this expansion and if things start to roll in, like I said, it's going to be a very quick reversal of that. So you have a little time, you don't have a lot of time. The market volatility here lends itself to having orders working. As these guys mentioned, we've had a lot of our offers sit on the overnight market because of the volatility. And, you know, you just have to have a plan. You have to kind of be willing to stick to that and stick your neck out here a little bit.
Right now, farmers are probably thinking to themselves, but, you know, that corn crop in Brazil, they're running late. At least that's what they believe is the case. And it'll dry out there. So I'm probably going to get something at some point where I can actually really market.
Yeah, I wouldn't take that bet right now. Brazil, I mean, it's been wet in central Brazil, but planting is moving forward. It is a little bit behind normal, but you have to consider, why is it behind normal? It's behind normal because they're getting rain. And what does rain to Brazil mean at this time? It means chances for a lot better corn yields going forward. So, you know, something on the order, 78% to 80% of Brazil's corn production is a second or a safrinha crop. And as you mentioned, just getting planted right now, but it's getting planted with moisture. And that's a benefit that they don't always have. So they're going to come out of the gate looking pretty good. Now, what that means during, you know, during pollination and grain fill, we'll have to get to that as it comes. But, you know, with the transition underway that a lot of these meteorologists are talking about from La Nina towards El Nino coming in this February, March, April, March, April, May time period, you know, odds would favor that they're going to raise a record corn crop. You may get your opportunity, but if you don't, it's going to be a very painful opportunity lost.
We've talked quite a bit about exports, but I do want to cover some of the other fundamentals, the livestock sector in particular, the drought out west, clearing out quite a bit of the cattle, I suppose. Maybe you can discuss that. Avian influenza has been a problem. Herds or flocks have been decimated. I'm wondering whether there is any reason to be very concerned about feed usage in the United States.
Well, when you look at feed usage, it's actually a miscellaneous category. Whenever we have a big crop, we got big feed usage, and with small crop, feed usage actually goes down. But true feed usage is on a standstill. It's on a little bit of a hold here. We have a few less poultry numbers. We have a few less cattle numbers. And the hog numbers are starting to increase in through here. You can see that as plain as day on the slaughter numbers were about 2-3% above a year ago. But domestic use is the key. This export number is going to flip-flop around, but I believe ethanol usage demand is going to remain fairly firm. A lot of people's talking negative about that. And then plus two, when you look at the overall structure here on old crop particularly, we got to remember Nebraska and Kansas was short about 600 million bushels of corn. So the function of the market is to move the corn from the east to the west. So this old crop is still in fairly good shape. The question is future feed demand and future export for new crop corn.
I do have a question related to the drought in the western United States and the inability of them to feed the feedlots in that direction, and how that is moved into the season's average cash price. It appears to me, and I think farmers in our part of the world, if they watch the season's average cash price from USDA, will say, I can't get there. I can't get to those prices. Is that because basis has just been so strong in other parts of the nation? And usually we have the strongest basis?
Usually it's been a dollar over or more out in the western states from, you know, Iowa West and things like that, up to maybe even $2 in some cases. And we have been over basis rather than under basis here in the east because of that, because it's still tugging on our corn to make up for what a little farther west moved west, and they have to keep moving into their areas for their, you know, ethanol and everything along those lines. So, yes, we've had tremendously strong basis this year. Now, remember, it's still awfully dry, and if you look at the drought map that we got there today and looking at what it is, some of the, there's three or four of those states are drier than this year at this time than they were last year at this time. And, you know, will we get the rains to fall across there? Will things go on there, or will they have trouble again next year? That's one of the questions of why we can't just say sell it all, go back and rate on the whole thing. But, you know, like I say, the whole thing is along the way. Yes, the basis levels have probably been stronger than they will be unless we see a tremendous drought again next year.
Yeah, Todd. So I think the answer to the question is exactly what you laid out. Those strong basis levels, particularly harvest and going into, you know, the first of the year in the West, pulled a lot of grain that direction, helped our basis levels and our cash prices. Now, the USDA number is an average. It's supposed to be a weighted average. I'm not sure exactly that it calculates that way, and it's also a projection. So whether or not, you know, we don't base a lot of our, you know, we like to see whether they're moving it up or down, but we don't base a lot of our marketing around what they're projecting that price to be, because there are too many other, I think, variables to get there. So I would tell a producer in Central Illinois who's saying, hey, I can't get to that price, focus on your profitability, not on, you know, chasing a price or chasing what you think is a pie in the sky or somebody in Kansas is getting a better price than I am. That's a different market. You don't want to change places with that guy. He's been through a very serious drought. There's a ton of trouble out in that part of the world, and you know, we should be glad that we are where we are, to be honest, when you look at prices.
It, just out of interest, if you would like to see how the season's average cash price is calculated, it is a simple Excel spreadsheet. If you search season's average cash price, USDA, I think you should be able to download it. And you're right, it is a weighted average each month from actual sales made at elevators. Let's take time now to wrap up. And what is your final word for the day? We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Well, it's more of an advertisement than anything. Go to agmarket.net, click on Intel, and there you'll have an opportunity to look at some of the things we talked about on this recording here, this natural gas, some of these hedge strategies. But click on Intel, you get a preview on it. All you need is name, email, phone number, and I'll ask who you want to talk to. Click either Wayne or myself on there. And we'll be able to help you out, because we were here during this conversation, and now's a good time to look at stuff ahead of time before you get busy in the field.
Yeah, Wayne Nelson, your final word?
You know, I think Kurt's right. I want to back him up on all that. But the first off is I want to say I'm going to do an advertisement. It's going to be for March 7th. I mean, what a deal. I mean, $30 and a meal included at the Beef House. And the speakers we're going to have. We just had a conference in Nashville, and just our room alone was about $250 a night, and that didn't include the cost of the conference. So, you know, this is going to be for $30 for you. We're going to do that. We're going to say, I think if you haven't marketed anything in new crop, look at it, talk to one of us, talk to your broker, talk to your elevator man, get your non-insurance bushels priced.
And Dave Chatterton from sfarmmarketing.com.
Yeah, Todd, no commercial here, but if you do go to agmarket.net, I think you should type in Dave Chatterton just to mess with my friends here. And I appreciate him being here, and I appreciate always getting their perspective. Real quick, we talked a lot about a lot of stuff today, but I think when you slice the grain marketing world into kind of the bigger picture here, we have a macro or an outside market that has an outsized influence over grain prices right now. And I think the risk in that situation is probably a little bit to the downside, but it's very unpredictable. We're in a situation where if you look at grain prices today, whether you look at a spot, you know, March corn and soybeans, whether you look at new crop December corn, new crop November beans, those prices as they stand today on the board are within the top 10 to 15% of any price running back for the last 10 years. That really tells you all you need to know in terms of how you want to manage your risk. You know that you've got higher input prices. You know that you've got skinnier margins this year. We also are pretty confident that we're going to see a lot less in the way of direct payments from the government this year. So your risk level or your room for error, if you want to put it in those terms, is going up precipitously this year on an expensive crop that, you know, price volatility is here and could certainly rotate to the downside. So, you know, however you choose to manage your risk, you could work with someone who can put you in a position to allow you to take some risk off the table, but leave some upside open. And I think it's a year, like I said, to play a little bit more offensively in terms of the amount of grain you have sold today versus defensively and waiting for higher prices.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find it online at willag.org. And while you're there, click on the link to register for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. The folks that joined us here today will be on the panels, along with seven other analysts that you hear on the air at WILL, the whole of the FarmDoc Agricultural Economist team from the University of Illinois. Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Mark Cheney from John Deere. We hope you will join us. The cost is just $30. WillAg.org. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Wayne Nelson, Dave Chatterton, and Kurt Kimmel. I'm Todd Gleason.